You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva, and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging. Welcome to everyone who is listening, whether you are a legendary listener or you are a new listener. Make sure you are following and subscribing on whatever platform you're listening to us on. It takes like 10 seconds to just go back to the podcast page for Currently Binging, swipe or click or tap the subscribe option, and leave a comment because I want to hear what you guys have to say. And it's really helpful and it helps everyone else be able to find the podcast. So, yes, let's just get right into this. We are discussing How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. This is the third and final installment in the How to Train Your Dragon trilogy. I have not talked about any of the previous How to Train Your Dragon movies because I did not watch the previous movies until recently in like December. So therefore, here we are. But yeah, this was a series that I knew of, and I did not like, I knew of because my sister was like, oh, you should watch it. It's a really good movie. But I never really took the time to actually sit and watch it. And for some reason, I was feeling very like medieval dragony types of feels because, you know, like everyone else, I'm waiting for Game of Thrones to return for its final season. So I was just like, I have nothing else to do. Let's just watch How to Train Your Dragon. So that's how I got looped into this. And that is how we are here. But yeah, so How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World is directed by Dean DeBlois. And it was also written by him, and it stars Jay Baruchel. You guys know I try not to mess up names, but sometimes I do, so please excuse me. And then America Ferrera and a ton of other people like Kate Blanchett, Kristen Wiig, Jonah Hill, just to name a few. But yeah, so this movie recently opened over this past weekend. And this was actually the best domestic opening of all three movies. It ended the weekend at 55.5 million total today, including international, because it opened internationally in early January. So today we're at about 277.4 million and the budget was 129 million. It has a 92% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and an 89% audience score. Pretty high numbers. And then as far as our cinema score, we are sitting at a solid A. So I saw this movie on $5 Tuesday because, you know, I love $5 Tuesday. And I went to, like I always do, a 4:30 p.m. showing. And you guys, when I tell you that the theater was full, and I have been to 4:30 showings for movies, and I usually pick that because I feel like it's one of those in-between times where people may not be off of work just yet, so I'm hoping the theater won't be full. But the theater was pretty much almost full, and it was like majority adults. So I mean, there were some kids in there. It was one mom in there with some very young kids and a baby, which I've talked about bringing babies to theaters before, so we won't talk about that here because this is a kids movie. But still, it's just, if the baby cannot take in anything that is happening on the screen, it might not be a good idea to bring the baby, because then if the baby cries, it's disturbing for everyone else who's watching a movie, as did happen at this showing. And the mom just would not take the baby out of the theater, and she literally walked up to the top row where I was sitting, like trying to rock the baby. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, take the baby outside of the theater. You're disrupting everyone's viewing this movie. So I say all that to say, if you have an infant child, it might not be a good idea to bring them to the movies, even if it's a kid's movie. But I digress. So the movie theater was full of pretty much adults, and everyone was just really super engaged with the movie from beginning to end. And that was pretty much the audience as far as what I could gather. So I'm just going to get right into talking about this movie, what my thoughts on the movie are. I honestly enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed all three of the movies. I think this one was a really good wrap up as far as it being the final installment for the trilogy. We return to Burke, and Burke is pretty much over capacity because they have just way too many dragons. They keep going out and saving all these dragons because, you know, Hiccup is our young, fearless leader as far as he has this whole image of what he thinks the world should be, and he believes the world should it consist of Vikings and dragons being in community. I can't think of another word. Being in community with each other and being able to live side by side with each other and not fight and try to kill each other. So that's pretty much where we are. His father passed in the previous movie, which was pretty sad. So this is a year later. His mom is back in the picture, and she's like a dragon loving lady herself. So we have all these things happening, and it's very colorful. We get like this opening sequence of them going to save the dragons, which was super fun to watch. And then after they save those dragons, this is when we are introduced to our villain of the movie, which is Grimmel, who is like this Night Watcher slayer. He's like legit, like top number one Night Watcher slayer. And so the people who they stole the dragons from enlist him to go and trap Toothless, because Toothless is like the king of the dragons because they all listen to him based on what happened in the second movie. So I was like, okay, I think of all of the villains, this was probably the villain that I did not like. I genuinely was like, okay, can you just die? And I'm glad that we are to assume that, even though it's a kid's movie, so I don't think they're going to really show us much, but we are to assume that he is dead, because I was like, you pretty much are crazy. He has these three dragons, or was it four dragons? But he has his own dragons, and he's not even controlling them. He has to drug them to control them. And then he pretty much just directs them to destroy things, whatever is in their path. And the fact that when he did end up getting Toothless, and he went back and was like, oh, you thought I was just going to hand him over? And like, I was going to kill him, like point blank period there. I was like, okay, this guy needs to die. So he was definitely, I think, one of the better villains of the trilogy, in my opinion. As far as Toothless and Hiccup, I mean, they are the driving force behind How to Train Your Dragon, because they are who you fall in love with, especially Toothless. And it's like, even when I first saw the first one, and I saw him, I was like, this is a weird looking dragon, but it's still sort of kind of cute. And then he got like cuter in the second one. And then the third one was just like, oh my gosh, he's so adorable. And I think some of my favorite moments from this movie was watching Toothless just be adorable on screen. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am an adult, like super happy and geeked over a fake dinosaur. Or not dinosaur, fake dragon. So I love the whole thing when we are introduced to a Light Fury. She doesn't really have a name, just Light Fury, who's like this white glittery version of Toothless. And we get to see him try to mate with her. I thought that was a super adorable scene with him trying to mate with her, not really knowing what, if he's doing it right, and kind of like questioning it and looking to Hiccup for what he should do next. I thought that was so cute, and it kind of really spoke to the dynamic that him and Hiccup have in their relationship. So I thought that was a super adorable scene. I thought all the scenes between Toothless and the Life Fury were super cute, adorable scenes. And I'm like feeling some type of way because you guys know I don't like cute and fluffy and romance and all that stuff. But it was just super cute scenes. And I don't know how you could just not like those scenes. How you could not watch those scenes and not have a smile on your face. Literally. So those are some of my favorite scenes. I loved seeing when Hiccup was like, okay, you go off and go find her. And he gives him the tale because, you know, he injured the whole, one of the main driving forces of how Hiccup and Toothless even begin their relationship is because Toothless loses half of his tail so he can no longer fly. So Hiccup is a very resourceful inventor type, if you will, because I mean, he's been inventing stuff for the past three movies. So he is a inventor. And so he is able to make these contraptions to be able to let Toothless continue to fly because, I mean, he is a dragon. So one of my favorite scenes was just seeing Toothless be free and just on his own and sort of like on a date, if you will, with the Life Fury in the air. And then we haven't really seen Toothless breathe fire, I don't think at all, up until this movie. And we haven't seen him like put his whole body into that, how the whole lightning effect and where he kind of disappears. We haven't seen that until now. And so seeing him doing that and just being a dragon, I don't know. I just really liked that scene or those scenes. And then also when we actually do get a glimpse into the hidden world, I thought that that was a really cool scene. And it really spoke to some of the animation that we see in this movie. Because, I mean, the first How to Train Your Dragon came out in 2010. So that's, what, 9 years ago. So animation has grown tremendously in the last 9 years. And you can definitely see it in this latest installment of the series. If you compare this movie to the first movie, you can completely see all of the differences in it. And I think one of the things that to me, or there were a couple of things that stood out, but one of the things that stood out was the lighting in this and just how vibrant and real the lighting looked in this movie was really, really good. And it's especially apparent in the hidden world, but also really apparent when we see Toothless and the Light Fury flying in the sky and like lighting up and disappearing and breathing their blue fire. So I thought that was done really, really well. Something else that I noticed, and I was sitting there, I was like, is this the first movie where we see like the elements moving around? And when I say that, I mean like really obviously, like everything just looks so real. Like the grass was swaying. You can see the moment when the Life Fury ends up saving Toothless after Grimmel shoots him with a dart. This is like all the way at the end, like the final action sequence when we're up in the air and Hiccup and Grimmel are fighting each other and they're on top of Toothless, or no, they're on top of the Life Fury. And this is when Grimmel has her under like a drug induced control. And so it's during that scene. And then when he shoots Toothless with a dart and Toothless flying through the air. And so Hiccup is pretty much going to sacrifice himself, so pretty much die, so that Toothless can live. And when we see the Life Fury toss him up onto that cliff, and you can see, like, it looks like dirt and grass just shoots up as he falls. Like, that's one of the things. There was another scene where it was like a sand scene. But it was, like, you could just see all stuff flying around. I was like, oh my gosh, did they do this in other movies? I would literally have to go sit and like watch it again to even see if that stands out. But it really stood out to me in this movie. So I think that was really well done as well. I mean, the movie looked really, really good. And even like there was a moment where Toothless like scratched himself and the scales came off. Like that looked really good. I don't know. It looked really good to me. And it just really stood out in this movie more so than it has in any of the previous two movies. So kudos to the team for that. But yeah, as far as some other characters, we have the twins, Rough Nut and Tough Nut, which I think they're always super funny without trying to be really, really funny. And they're one of those things who I feel like a lot of our secondary characters who are essentially like the crew who started out with Hiccup and Astrid when they were training to be dragon slayers. And then now they're like all dragon loving friends, and they go out and they fight the bad dragon catchers and all that stuff. So like those whole secondary characters, I feel like they are used as a tool to be kind of the comedy or the comedic release as far as something that kids will find funny. But I told you, I was in a theater full of mostly adults, and they were really laughing it up at some of the things that were coming out of Rough Nut and Tough Nut's mouth. Especially when, oh my gosh, Rough Nut, I'm like, is Rough Nut the girl or the boy? Because their names are so similar. Rough Nut is the girl. So when Rough Nut is caught by Grimmel, and she is like pretty much being annoying to the point that he is literally super frustrated, and it ends up letting her go because she's so kind of not the smartest chip in the bag. So he uses her to be able to track back to where they migrated to, because they end up deserting what they have called home for generations in search of this hidden place that they would be able to live with the dragons. But they end up stopping at some other like hilly top place that has like cut bones, and they could be able to defend themselves if they need to. So he pretty much ends up using Rough Nut to go track down where they are. But that whole scene when she's like behind bars, everyone was just cracking up laughing during all of those scenes. But yeah, also like some of the banter between, I can't remember what, because there are two, and I don't really remember what their names are. Because they look kind of, they look similar, but they're like the short and thicker ones. So I want to say Snout Loud, but it could be the other one, the one who has the crush on Hiccup's mom. Like, people were laughing at that. So I do think that they did a good job of using those secondary characters to be some of that drive as far as for some of the comedy. There is, I guess the only one left to talk about is Astrid. And Astrid, I've always liked Astrid. I've always wanted to see more from Astrid. I do think that they were kind of trying to take it there with her on this movie, but they just never really quite made it. And I think there were some moments where Hiccup's mom was like, you know, you believe in him, you can get him to do whatever. If you guys get married, you'll be a united front because you guys are super strong together. And like pretty much Astrid is very important. Like people listen to her, all that. But I do feel like I just wanted to know a little bit more about her, or kind of like see her developed a little bit more. And I don't know what that could have looked like, because the movie was so heavily about Toothless and Hiccup pretty much getting to the place where they had to let each other go in order to keep the other safe. So I know that's like kind of confusing, but they had to let the other go, or let each other go, or in order to keep the other safe. And so that was kind of what we was working towards all this season. And then it's still those same kind of themes that have been in the other movies, where it's like family and relationship, and what does that look like, and love, and what does that look like? Because we hear a lot of talk about Hiccup and Astrid getting married. So yeah, so we do get to the point where we have defeated Grimmel, and it is time for Hiccup to let Toothless go because he knows that he will be safe, the safest, him and all of the dragons will be the safest in the hidden world. And you guys, I am like a grown woman and I was like getting emotional watching this. Like when they were saying goodbye to each other, I was like, oh my God, this is so sad. I'm not about to be sitting up in here crying. I mean, I didn't really cry, but you know, I was like feeling all of the emotions and you could tell like it was an emotional moment for everyone in the theater. So that was a really, really sweet moment just to see that. And I was just in my head, I was like, I mean, can't you guys just like every once in a while, like come back and, you know, play or do like a little fly around and then, you know, go your separate ways. I don't know. But then we get to see Astrid and Hiccup get married, which was super sweet. And then we cut and do a little fast forward and Astrid and Hiccup have two kids of their own. And Hiccup is kind of telling a story to his children. And that is when he sees Toothless and the Life Fairy and their three little ones, and then it's kind of like a little reunion, and then it's like the cutest final scene in a movie I've seen in a while, like an animated movie that I've seen in a while, where we get to just see, it was cute because we got to see Hiccup ride Toothless again, like fly on Toothless again, but then it was even more cute because we got to see him on Toothless with his kids and his kids being able to like experience flying with dragons, because at this point everyone is like, people think that dragons didn't, it's like this whole fairy tale story that didn't really exist, and only the Burke people know that like what really happened to them. So there's all this stigma and mystery around dragons, and so they get to experience this, and then we get to see like both families. So we get to see Toothless and his family, and then we get to see Hiccup and his family, and then we also see Astrid's old dragon as well. And it was just like the cutest final sequence. I don't know why. But that was pretty much it. I thought overall it was a super adorable movie. It was a great end to a really good solid trilogy. I mean, overall, I have enjoyed every movie in the series. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. So I will give you guys my rating for this, and dun 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 dun, I think this is the first A of 2019. Yeah, I'm going to have to give this just a solid A. I mean, I thought it was super enjoyable. It's a kids movie, but it's also like a family movie. So I think this is definitely a good movie to take your kids to watch. Your kids who would be able to understand what's going on, leave the infant babies at home. I'm just saying. But yeah, so I would give this a solid A. And yeah, I want to know what you guys thought. Did you see this final installment in our How to Train Your Dragon trilogy? Let me know what you thought about it. Did you enjoy how we wrap things up? What did you want to see that you didn't see? I want to know all of those things. You can let me know by commenting on the most recent Instagram post related to this episode. And yeah, that's pretty much all I have for this one. I will talk to you guys in the next episode.
Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram @currentlybinging and on Twitter @currentbinge.